Hey guys and gals, welcome back to the show. I'm starting this one like the last one because I kind of like how that last one started. Kind of give a little bit of a teaser before we hit the intro and then jump right into it. This one is just completely up for grabs as the last one kind of was as well. I've had a ton of responses from the last one, especially from current police officers, and the overwhelming, in fact, 100% response from both police officers and police dispatchers has been that they feel the same way, which is encouraging for me because I you know, helps me realize that I'm not losing my sanity, that I'm not the only one, you know, that I'm still thinking like a cop. Right, that's why we started this show, because I think like a cop, but can present that ideology, that world perspective to the masses. So before we get into this one, I just want to say it might be a bit of a roller coaster. I'm going to read an email, answer the questions, and then kind of get some things off my chest. Let's do it.
What we're dealing with here, glittering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah.
No, it's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one solid weekend of training to get that bag.
All right, so first we're going to jump into an email. It was written by one of our listeners, of course. And this listener asked a few questions. First, how much more dangerous is policing now than 4 years ago? Statistically speaking, I haven't seen any hard evidence that it's more dangerous than it was 4 years ago. Police officers have a dangerous job. So the threat from what is normally considered to be the threat for police officers, I feel, is generally speaking the same. It ebbs and flows. It goes up and down from year to year. But generally speaking, hey, it's a dangerous job, all right? Now, that said, the threat from politicians and the general woke lemming portion of the public is much greater now. Being a police officer is akin to being a soldier. Being a police officer now is akin to being a soldier coming back from Vietnam in a lot of cases. They're dealing with the same kind of completely irrational hatred that they can't do anything about. Our police officers signed up to do what they felt like was a good, altruistic, selfless, and noble thing. In fact, it is. Hate to break it to you. I know most of our listeners 100% understand that. That's why you're here. But is it more dangerous now than 4 years ago? 110,000% yes, when it comes to the politics. Because as we have seen in Atlanta, for example, a politician, the district attorney, filed a murder charge on a police officer that, listen, ask any cop out there. Not because they are about protecting each other, but because they actually understand how this stuff works. Ask any of them. They'll tell you that was a good shoot. 100% justified. And if you want to make the argument that police officers are just all about protecting each other and they're never held accountable, I just read a study showing that 1,100 or thereabouts police officers a year are charged with criminal offenses, and the conviction rate is 70 in the mid 70s, which is right in line with the general population, in fact, a little bit higher. So the premise that police officers are just all out there protecting each other, and that no one is ever, no cop is ever held accountable for wrongdoing is completely, just complete bullshit. Yeah. Sometimes things that should never have happened go unchecked. I 100% agree with that. But police officers have a very difficult job, and it's hard to do perfectly right all the time. And there has to be some sort of understanding and margin of error there when it comes to the law, and there is. But at the same time, there are things I think we can do better about dealing with police officers who are not fulfilling their oath. I'm 100% on board with making it easier to get rid of bad cops. That's one of the things that drove me crazy when I was still, you know, an active law enforcement officer. Because guess what? I had to work with those people. And no good cop likes working with or dealing with bad cops. And when I say bad, I just mean they're just bad cops. They're bad at their job, let alone corrupt or racist. That's a whole different level of a bad cop. But some cops just suck at their job. And it's too important of a profession to leave those people in it. But yeah, I think it is more dangerous to answer that question. I think the politics around it, it is clear we are at a point in this country where truth and reason have gone out the window, and we're willing to throw our police officers under the proverbial bus for, you know, to appease the woke religion, to atone for our woke sins, as it were. Number two, do you still see policing as a profession to get into, or is it too quote-unquote dangerous? As in doing your job perfectly, yet getting charged for murder like the Rashard Brooks incident. Disclaimer, I'm asking a general question. I'm going into policing regardless. This won't sway my decision. All right, so that one I've kind of already answered. And I appreciate the clarification because I really don't want to be, I don't want to be the deciding factor, right? Like, I know that some of the shows I put out recently, oh man, if I were looking to get into law enforcement, listening to myself recently, I would be going, wait a minute, like, maybe I need to pick a different career. And I'm 100% not saying that. We still need police officers. We still need people willing to make that sacrifice. Is it too dangerous? I think right now, if you're getting into law enforcement, the most important thing you can do is be very critical of where you choose to work. I would not join Minneapolis PD, Atlanta PD, Washington Metro PD, NYPD. These places have proven that they are not for their police officers, that they care more about politics and false narratives than the people that protect their communities. So I think the profession has become more complicated, and it's not as simple as going, you know what, I could lose my life in line of duty, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice. Every cop signs up for that. Every cop that ever swore in and put that badge on signed up for that, but it's a different game now. If you join the wrong department, you're signing up for a hell of a lot more, and it's something that I would never expect someone to sign up for. So you just have to be careful. Number three, what type of fitness routine and eating habits should I follow from now? Should I form now to help me stay in shape after the academy? Well, I did go to school for dietetics for a while, but I'm not a dietitian. I'll say that I don't believe in fad diets. I think that the more amount of healthy, real food, real unprocessed, never seen a factory food you can eat, the better off you'll be. That is the one rule of thumb that I think works for everyone without exception. And it costs a hell of a lot less than a lot of these, you know, commercialized fad diets do. And the one thing I'll add to that is it's a lot more comfortable, generally speaking, to be a little bit hungry than way too full. And this is something I've learned over the years, right? Like when I was a police officer, I'd eat an entire Chipotle burrito. It was like 1,800 calories. I don't even want to know how many calories in that damn thing, but I'd eat the whole thing. And then I would spend the rest of my shift just barely able to breathe, barely conscious, driving my cruiser around. Because, you know, if you're doing that right now, listening to this, you know, like you can't breathe when you've got a gun belt on and a bulletproof vest and you're sitting cramped in a police car, let alone that giant Chipotle burrito shoved inside of your, you know, already compressed body, right? So that was when I really realized that, like, wait a minute, I can eat half this thing and not feel miserable for the next 4 or 5 hours, and then I got a free meal later. What do you know, right? So that's my Reader's Digest version of dieting. Eat real food, don't eat so much. Portion control is huge. Fitness-wise, listen, if you can run for at least 2 miles at a decent pace, you can do a good amount of push-ups and a good amount of sit-ups in a couple of minutes. That's a pretty good general shape, physical shape that you can be in, right? So like, if you can do at least 40 or 50 push-ups and or sit-ups in 2 minutes, and you can run 2 miles in 16 minutes or less, you're doing all right. And there's lots of ways you can get to that point. I put out a workout of the day every Monday through Friday on our Discord chat server that our members have access to. You just got to find something that works for you. But the most important thing is get out there and freaking sweat for 30 to 60 minutes, at least 5 or 6 days a week. All right. Number four, do people have better chances getting into small departments if they have no prior experience, or larger departments? A deputy told me smaller departments struggle to get applicants, so I should start there. It depends. In some areas, the big departments are hurting the worst because they're crappy and their pay is crappy. And every decent, no, I'm not even saying good, every halfway decent cop leaves that big city department and goes to a much higher paying, lower stress part of town. So it completely depends. I think in general, yes, going to a more rural, smaller department with a smaller budget is a good way to get your foot in the door, to prove that, hey, you know, I can swing it, I can do this thing. And then you start applying to the better and bigger departments that have more room for growth as far as your career goes, all that stuff. But again, it depends. You really have to talk to police officers in your community, in your area, and kind of feel them out and go, okay, if you were getting in right now, where would you go? And I'm telling you right now, cops can be as tribal as anybody else. Take what they tell you with a grain of salt, right? Like we get into these ridiculous department feuds. It's childish, right? But if you talk to enough cops in your area, you will eventually come to a pretty good understanding of, okay, I know I need to avoid that department and that one and that one and that one, and these ones, you know, any of these might work out. So that's where I would go. talk to the officers in your area. I know it's hard to do, but they're actually nice people. If you see a cop sitting in a parking lot, walk up and talk to them. Just make sure they can see your hands. Number five, I have and this is the fun one, right? I have family members who are more worried about racist cops hating me for trying to change the systematic racism in the system as opposed to the violence police officers face every day. What could I say to convince them they are wrong, that they are wrong? And then in parentheses, quote, I am white, but my family is convinced that I will be one of the quote unquote few good officers and be hated for it. I'm not concerned, obviously. And end of parentheses, end quote. I don't know if there's anything you can say. And I'm going to be 100% blunt here. I know the person who wrote this will be okay with that because you're listening to the show and you're asking my advice. So here it is. I don't know that you can convince them otherwise. If they are so deluded as to believe that you are going to be, that your life is going to be threatened by the fact that you aren't racist, I have no idea what to say to them. Other than that they are complete idiots and need to wake up and need to actually start thinking for themselves. I honestly don't know. I do not have an answer here. And this is what I've been struggling with lately. And this is the segue into what I want to get off my chest. I don't have all the answers. I don't, right? Like, obviously, nobody does. I understand that. But so many of you listening to my voice right now come to me for these answers. And I'm still trying to find my own. And the older I get, the more I see that no matter how successful someone is, no matter how much money they've made, no matter how much fame they've achieved, right? They are just faking it till they make it. They're trying to figure out their own way. They don't have all the answers. And that goes to the old saying, and this is a complete paraphrase, but you know, the more you know, the more you don't know, or the wiser you become, the more you realize what you don't know, right? Only fools think they know everything. And I'm not a fool as far as I know. So to the family members who are worried as you join the police force about all the racist cops and the systemic racism and all that stuff. Listen, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. There's literal dog shit in the Kool-Aid. Stop drinking it and start thinking for yourselves. That's all I have to say. I don't know if that's the right thing to say. But right now where I'm at as an individual, given my life experience and the overwhelming evidence to suggest that premise that they've just put forward is completely ridiculous, that's what I have. That's all I have to say. I don't know. And they're not my family. So there's that, right? Like, I don't recommend saying that to your own family because they're your family. You got to live with them for the rest of your life, presumably. Technically, you don't have to, but yeah, I don't have the answers. I'm kind of at a loss at this point with where things have so drastically gone in this country. I never thought we would find ourselves here, where we're at right now. And in fact, I never thought I'd find myself where I'm at right now in life. I don't have all the answers. I don't know. I don't know what to do about the fact that our membership platform, Patreon, is sending $50,000, which in the grand scheme isn't a whole lot. Black Lives Matter gets a hell of a lot more money than that, probably on a weekly basis. But Patreon is sending them $50,000. And 100, 110, I keep saying this, but I don't know, I guess it's a thing for me right now, 110%, 110,000% drinking the Kool-Aid about systemic pervasive racism in our country and in law enforcement, et cetera, blah-dy, blah-dy, blah. Are there racist people out there? Hell yeah. Are there any solid statistics out there, peer-reviewed stats that support that claim? No. I haven't seen them. And I've seen a hell of a lot that says that's completely ridiculous. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Every time I search something on the internet, I support an organization that stands for a lot of things I don't believe in. But our membership program is our members pay a monthly fee to be a part of that program and therefore are supporting an organization that is actively vilifying what they do or what they intend to do as a career. And I don't have the answer. I want to just find a different platform and transition, but that's easier said than done. That takes days and days of cumulative work to do. And probably weeks. The same goes for our website. I want to be free. And this is very preliminary, but I'll put it out there right now. The good, the strong, and the free. Good, strong, free is going to be a thing you're going to hear more about. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, or if it's going to end up being exactly that, but I feel that it's inevitable that we create something that can speak more broadly than just about law enforcement issues. I'm not saying this show is ending, but I am saying that here's one hypothetical. We transition to a new web hosting platform, or maybe even just a new membership platform, and that platform is not under the umbrella name of Police Academy Podcast. In fact, Police Academy Podcast would come under the umbrella of a larger organization or cause, being the good, the strong, the free. So that's kind of a little glimpse into the creative portion of my mind that I need a lot of help with. I've been reaching out to some of my best friends who are, one in particular, who is a phenomenal graphic artist, and going, listen, hey, I really need your help. I'm going to pay you this time, I promise, but I really need your help. I need a new logo. I need new everything. I need brand new shirt designs, like on a regular basis. There's all these things I want to do. But at the same time, coming back to the reality that none of us really know exactly what we're doing. So I'm telling you right now, I'm working on these things while I'm also trying to provide our members with what I've promised. And right now, I'll be honest, I'm about to go into a couple of weeks of vacation. And it's not exactly vacation. It's just some time, much needed time off. So you may, especially our members, you may see that I am a little bit more reserved, a little bit less present on the membership platform. And that's why I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to figure out, you know, where I'm headed in life and what my purpose is now and what I need to continue, what I need to continue to develop, but what I need to change too. And what my focus needs to be. I don't want to lead anyone astray. And most importantly, I want to lead my family well. So I'm going to take a couple of weeks and try to kind of figure some of that out. But I just wanted to kind of give you all a heads up. Like, hey, listen, 2020's been rough. And I hope after a couple of weeks I come out with a more clear direction and perspective on how I can help. How I can help my listeners here at Police Academy Podcast, how I can help our country that is hurting in a big way right now, and how I can be the father and the husband that I strive to be. You know, I was mowing the lawn before I came here to do this, and I just had to stop. My wife was out there with the weed eater, bless her heart. And I just had to stop and shut the mower off and get off and just be like, dear, I'm over it. I don't know. I just need a break. I carry everything that matters to me on my shoulders every day. And she knows this. I'm a very task-oriented person. So every task that is unfinished is on my shoulders until it's done. And this is part of what drives her crazy with the podcast, right? Because if I have an idea in my head, that's why I'm sitting in here right now talking to you all. I'm supposed to be like packing and like getting ready to go on leave and just take some time off. I got done mowing the yard, but that was my thinking time. And then after my thinking time, I'm like, I gotta go talk to my people, right? So here I am. Because if I didn't do this, I'd go insane. So I'm getting this off my chest, right? And I think it was good for her to see that too. And I want to end with this. I want to encourage all of you. Number one, I'm gonna go with a two-part kind of challenge, right, as we go forward. Number one, this is harder if you're younger, and I understand that, but take it from me, right? Like, take this little nugget of wisdom. Let people in. Let people see what's going on the inside. I promise you, your life will be fuller and more full of joy if you do. And number two, realize that the people who you think are so tough and know what they're doing at all times, they seem to have it all together. They're just like everybody else. Yeah, they may be smarter about the decisions they make, but they're still trying to figure it out just like everybody else. They don't have all the answers. They just don't. And when they make mistakes, they need grace from you. And sometimes they need you to genuinely just ask them how they're doing. Because even if it looks like they've got it all together, damn, if 2020 hasn't proven to every single one of us that life can just be shitty sometimes, then I don't know what will. So on that note, let somebody in, let somebody see your heart, and realize that everyone you meet is going through something that you know nothing about. The best you can do is go out there and do good. Be strong and stay free.